It's all about the ass. Everybody gets their ass done. My ass is real, and everyone asks me if it's real, but it's always been big, and I never liked it. The fact that you bitches are getting the shit done to your ass, it blows my mind!
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers to be talking about what today, Regan?
Our fantastic three topics. Our topic number one, what is your favorite long take in a movie? Topic number two is what song was your jam as a kid? And topic number three is whose butt do you think is the most attractive and it can't be your significant other?
Cool. Regan wants me divorced so we can hang out more, and I'm totally cool with that.
I specifically said not your significant other, so this
Andy's got a nice butt.
That's great.
Yeah.
And
you can throw that, you can throw that in there.
She's got
you
some mom butt.
You can start your answer with, well, my if I could choose.
All right, so. I got it. I'm really looking forward to being able to get permission to talk about someone else's butt. Mm-hmm. And we are pleased as punch to have on the podcast for the first time one of my favorite local comics here in San Antonio, Texas, Mr. Alonzo Cantu. Alonzo, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Can I choose Larry Garza's wife's butt?
You fucker!
As long as it's not
very
your
nice.
Significant other, you can choose her.
Have you seen my wife's butt ever?
I would love to, Larry.
It's pretty good.
Invitation.
It's nice.
A picture real quick, Larry.
I don't think I have booty pics of my wife.
Oh, that's a shame, then. Man.
I don't. Should I have?
Would she be upset that you don't?
And would you have to be sneaky about it?
No.
I've taken booty pics of her.
Like, just while you're, like, very, like...
Like, your butt looks really good right now. Don't move. Let me take a
like
picture.
Like, yoga pants, folding laundry.
Yeah.
Or her stomach hurts and she needs to fart and she's at the edge of
but
the bed.
But she's, like,
she's like, my back hurts. And then her back arches and stuff. And I'm like, apple bottom jeans.
Does she want you to have her butt pics on your phone?
I guess if, like, some other chick's going through my phone and she's like, whose butt's that? And it's like, it's mom butt. That's all mom butt.
I love it's not Andy. It's mom butt.
Mom butt. Yeah. Lonzo.
Well, I'm just, I have such a filthy phone that every time I lose it for half a second, I'm like, oh my God. Those pictures get out.
I hope it gets destroyed immediately.
It would be like San Antonio fappening. Yeah, it'd be horrible, dude.
So, Alonzo, man, you're telling me that you've been wanting to do the podcast for a while.
Begging would be the...
Begging, wow.
Well, no. You have some shows going on. I'm always happy...
No, I don't.
Well, you have...
I wanted to mention that before the podcast, but I thought, let's save it for the podcast.
No more shows going on?
I remember you were excited to have me on because Kyle Long, I was working with him.
He's insane.
Yeah, he's an insane person that plays the guitar.
And hates Hillary Clinton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It's pretty awesome. Yeah,
and even with all that going for him, still...
Look him up, people. Kyle Long.
He's like crazy.
Or don't.
He's crazy.
He's crazy. He's an awesome brand of crazy, though. Yeah. But either way, that
Gerald
show...
Gerald Johnston kind of crazy.
The show that I had, I called him up to confirm, hey, you're going to do the music for it. And he said, I'm not in town. Like, where are you? California.
But
how long? Forever.
Oh, wow.
No.
Like, wow. Right.
So that should have been a sign that the show probably wasn't going to go very well.
Right.
And then it just kept on being worse. You know, like the bartenders didn't like me. And the locals all knew my girl. And me being the proof that they can't fuck her anymore. It's like, fuck this guy's jokes.
Anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so I guess I'm just promoting my YouTube channel, Cult of Alonzo Comedy. You looked that up on YouTube.
Which I like. They're very off-putting. They're very weird. You have one
they're very off-putting.
He has one of the very few local stand-up-to-a-cop videos. Like, you don't see too many of local ones. It's always at other scenes. But yeah, Alonzo, yeah, tell us about that.
Yes, please.
Oh, well, this is back in the day before I'd ever gone to jail and realized how bad it is.
Right.
So it's like, I didn't have any fear of jail.
Like,
so
how long ago was it?
How old was I? I was 17. I was 17.
Oh, it's an older video?
Oh, it's an old, old video. This is so many lies ago for Alonzo.
So you're a hipster about fucking cop videos.
Oh, yeah. This is making those. Yeah.
I was putting videos online before you had YouTube. So you had to actually buy hosting and then, or what I did was beg somebody else that had hosting.
Right.
Yeah. And so you, hopefully you did good videos so people would want to put your videos on their thing.
Right on.
And so, yeah, I was filming a kid getting arrested at the local skate park, which is, you know, great footage, right?
Right.
And, one of the cops comes up and he's like, turn that camera off. Turn that. You didn't actually see it. It's all recorded from there. And, I just say, cause you're not allowed to film people that are underage when they're getting arrested, which I didn't know that until then. Found that out.
Really?
Yeah. It's only.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, it has to do with their,
Parents.
Well, not only that, it's like when you get arrested and you're underage, they don't put your face out in the paper because. You're underage, so
you're not a human being.
Yeah, exactly.
No, seriously. I mean,
you're a husk of a person.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You're soulless.
You're not a citizen.
Got it. Yeah. You're your parents' citizen.
Yeah,
yeah.
He comes up there and tries to tell me to take the or give him the camera or whatever, which is their go-to stuff with cops. I mean, I understand where cops are coming from. They're doing their job. But either way, not say fuck pigs.
That's
politely, yeah. But yeah, I just said, I'm just filming the skate park. You know, I'm just doing a long shot of the skate park.
And, it's a fishbowl lens, I swear.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just you watch the video online. Long story short, I don't give my camera.
Yeah,
and. And I just gave him kind of a hard time while he tried to take my camera, basically.
Talk about
just,
your rights and stuff
yeah,
like
just being
that.
A smart-ass little kid, you know, and just – I remember I was saying – he says we have a white male named Alonzo. I'm like, actually Mexican, sir.
Yeah, he says it. Nice. They corrected him. Yeah, he should be – he should fucking call it out, man, because you're white-looking as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
You have to – you could shop at North Star Mall during Easter and just speak Spanish and no one will fuck
I'm not
it.
Allowed to shop at Southside Mall because I'm too white. Yeah.
No, dude. I remember I was filming this cop arresting this stripper who stiffed a cab driver in the parking lot of my house. Like, they just – like, I was at this townhouse and so there was like four other residents and she just decided – I guess the – cab driver decided I'm pulling into this parking lot. And long story short, she wore this dress. It was one of those tube dresses. So when she would try to pull it down because it was too short, her tits would fall out. And so then when she would pick it back up to cover her tits, her ass would fall out. So it was like this like a Martin and Lewis kind of thing going on with her tits and ass. And so I was filming at this big red light and it was, you know, fucking in a parking lot. And this cop shined a flashlight at me. And I was like, yes. He was like, what are you doing? I was like, filming you arresting that stripper. And then he's like, all right. And like, yeah, you couldn't say anything.
Proceed.
Yeah, exactly.
I love about just thinking about filming stuff from back in the day is because I actually did a selfie with the camera. You can see that. And this is before you had the
reverse.
Phone. Yeah. So yeah. How big was your camera? I'm sure
it was a high eight, dude. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, high eight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had mini DVs. So you were doing it way before. Wow.
Now people just
I think a generation before.
Yeah. But to me, might as well be a lifetime, dog. Jesus Christ. Oh, man. That's what I really like about you guys is how you have a. Not only a following in San Antonio, but some kind of – you have, like, credibility with the clubs. I love how when I was working at – well, you should have. But I just like the fact that you obviously went out there and were like, hey, we can do this video thing for you guys before your shows. And it's awesome. It is so professional.
Thank you.
I used to know it by heart. And thank God I don't anymore.
You know? There's shit.
Wash it down with an ice cold cheesecake.
Yeah. Thank you. That's good stuff.
Who farted?
That's right. Who farted?
Oh my God.
Shout out to Jesus. Rest in peace, Uncle Jesus.
Oh, really?
He did pass away?
No, he's alive.
He faked his death.
Yeah, okay. I think he's too much of a Kaufman ripoff, that guy. So you don't have that show. Where was it?
It was give this bar a plug, all right.
No, they're being dicks. Don't give them a plug.
Yeah. Oh, they weren't being dicks. It was just we both wanted different things.
Okay. Oh, that's such a nice thing
that's
to
very
say.
Very nice.
But
I want a non-dick bar.
So if there's any bars out there after this podcast that are willing to promote the brand of Alonzo Can't Do Comedy, fuck pigs, then
that's my new t-shirt. Say,
yeah. But it's like, it's not an anti-cop t-shirt. It's a pro-bestiality t-shirt. that absolutely, man. Fuck pigs. I mean,
I the cops were like, "What's with that shirt? You don't see yourself like this, do you?"
No, I'm not referencing you.
No. No, it's actually like brutality toward pigs. Like it's a dude kicking a pig. He's like, yeah. "Fuck pigs," and it's like
they're gross. No, filthy animals.
It's bestiality.
They're gross, filthy animals.
I know it piss off more people in Texas than the anti-cop. You don't like bacon? Get the fuck out.
Pigs, they're asking for it.
Either
they're
way.
Asking for it. With their ass all in the air and a little curly tail. Say, fucking.
You say, like, fuck Cosby, right? Pink. Fuck Jared. Fuck any pedophiles. You know? Like,
yeah.
That's why, you know what?
Don't fuck Jared.
Why do we have the Black Lives t-shirts matter, but we didn't have no anti-Cosby t-shirts? We didn't have, like, why do we always jump on, like, the bandwagons except for the hilarious, not hilarious ones, but I guess. Well, no, because, I mean, you have offensive t-shirts out there, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we have any, like, offensive t-shirts for Cosby, you know?
I bet you there are. There has to be. Pill Cosby.
The most offensive t-shirt that I ever saw was I was at this funeral and a kid wore a YOLO shirt. And I was just like, and I was like, really, kid? Really? You're going to wear a YOLO t-shirt to a funeral?
Yes.
Who, but you know, there's any of that. That is appropriate.
Point. That's the only place you should wear a YOLO shirt.
But it always brings me back. I was at my great granduncle's funeral, and I'm so lackadaisical, take every day by the minute. I could die right now and be happy. And then my relatives were crying and sorrow, and they're mad. They're like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm still alive. And not thinking how offensive that might be to family member who's grieving, and they're kind of like,
well, you pretty much said, I'm doing better than that guy.
Look at him. He's dead.
He's dead as fuck, man. How are y'all?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, by the way.
Where's the nearest Arby's?
My girlfriend's been showing me a bunch of offensive Bill Cosby t-shirts, so I guess I was wrong about that.
Let's make a shout-out. Yeah. Say hello. We've referenced you a few times. I don't want you to feel like that you're not. So you don't exist.
My lovely lady over here.
I don't want to ruin anything.
You're not going to ruin anything.
My weird-ass voice. I sound like a...
You sound like a nice
smoker.
Human being. No, you don't. You sound like a young smoker. Just say, hey, and what's your name?
Thank you. Well, I'm six, so that doesn't help either.
You are
and
sick.
Also, I am a smoker.
Sick. If you're dating Alonzo, you're sick as fuck.
Yeah, fucking sick, dog.
Oh, he's actually not so bad. He's actually wonderful, amazing boyfriend. So.
All right!
Yeah. What's your name?
Charlie. My name's Charlie.
Like, hey, Charlie. I love it. Hi, my daughter's Mikey. And she has a boy's name, too. Yeah, so I rock that. So, hey, Charlie. Yeah. Charlie's joining us, but being like most girlfriends should, she's going to be quiet in the corner. You don't...
I have to mind my own business.
So, how long have you been doing comedy, man?
I think it would be 3 years, 3 years or 4 years in February or April.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of yours, Alonzo, and I'd like to see you do a lot more shit. And if anyone is in the San Antonio area, look up Alonzo Cantu, see where he is performing, and I guarantee you will be entertained. So I'm glad you're on the podcast, man. So we're going to get started with the topic questions, and I can't wait to hear your answers. So, Jess.
Yeah. It's time for everyone's second favorite, maybe third favorite, possibly first favorite segment of the evening. Yeah, we're looking at that. A segment where I talk about movies and video games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners would be, yeah, I'm going to look into that. So tonight we're talking about a German movie called Victoria. And Victoria is a movie that has won, I think, six of German equivalent of the Oscars. Their awards are called German Film Awards. It's very, it gets right to the fucking point.
German Film Awards. What are those?
Oh, man.
Right? Like, you say the Oscars, you're like, what are those?
So that means in Germany, they're like, oh, the Oscars, they're the German Film Awards of America.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Why? And Germans are just so like, why don't they just call them the American Film Awards?
I know.
Goddamn Americans. They still use freaking pounds and feet.
It won Best Picture, Best Actress, and Best Cinematography. And the thing that it's being known for, toted for, is that it is a 2 hour film plus. That is one long take. There are no cuts. There are no edits. And unlike something like Birdman, it is legitimately one take. It was the actors that had 12 pages of script, and they improvised majority of the dialogue. They just had to match the beats from point A to point B to point C to point D. It has several locations. And it is filmed from like 4:30 in the morning to 7 o'clock in the morning in Germany where this was filmed. And the movie is about
But how much time is that in American time?
Well, because
the
convert, they,
I think, the yeah, euro, the, it depends on where the euro is right now. Right.
And it depends on when you're watching it. Are you watching it during daylight savings time, and or does daylight saving times affect you? If you're watching it in Hawaii,
below, yeah, if you're below
really
the equator,
right.
But on the left side of the hemisphere.
Yeah, it's a it, just, yeah. There's an app I think you can get.
Sure. No, okay.
Right. Yeah, 120 minutes. So one long take. It starts off in a club following. Yeah, it starts off at a club following a barista named Victoria from Spain. So she doesn't speak German. She speaks only English, and she befriends four German fellows, and ooh, they're having a good time. Yeah, they're having a great time.
What are four German dudes and a Spanish chick gonna do?
Oh man, they're gonna fucking hang out. They're gonna smoke pot.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then when it's time for her to open up the coffee shop, it's time for her to leave. Shit starts happening, and they get whisked away, and car burglary, bank robbery, and all kinds of mad hijinks, all in one long take, improvised dialogue, 12 pages of script.
And has this been verified? These days, there's lots of trickery. The camera swipes real quick to the left. Who knows what happens? Yeah. You know, it runs up against someone's back and cut and do another take. So who's verified?
I would say who verified it is that German film award it won for cinematography.
I'm not saying that it
two take edits walk.
A very well shot.
I'm not sure. I can't say who verified. And this isn't the only movie.
I'm just saying, was there a Guinness Book of World Records dude walking around?
No, there's already a movie that has. It is a 7-hour movie, and it is a more of an art film, and it's 7.5 hours, and it's like one take. But I think it's just like a stationary camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Of like, you know, and it's an art film. It's probably some nun bleeding.
Just a guy counting off the dates of quarters.
Some nun.
1967. But
it's 7.5 hours. It's being played like in the Gutenberg or wherever. Yeah. I don't know, some museum.
But so, like, more importantly, is it a good movie? Like, is it? I know it won the award, but is it entertaining? Yeah, because maybe they could have taken a couple extra takes and actually made it good. Yeah,
there's actually one scene where they mess up.
That's all. If it was like 2 hours straight, long take of like a bunch of like four German dudes and a Spanish barista on a roof smoking pot, I guarantee you it's not a good movie. But
I already made that movie. Actually.
It's online. It was before YouTube.
I didn't know that was a big thing. I would have sent it to Germany and gotten an award for it. I thought it was stupid. I was like, man, I can't afford editing equipment.
Here's 30 minutes of me talking.
I was at a museum. Mm-hmm. I forgot where it was, but it was a art film, and it was the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest constant laugh. It was four people, and it was just them laughing for like 4 hours. And you can put the headphones on and listen, and you can see how in pain they were. By I don't even know at what point I was watching it, but they're wearing dunce caps, and they're all wearing different colors, and it was like weird, and there's like ha ha ha, and it was terrifying.
Man, like, they probably got a grant for like $50,000.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they got
start, and then like just multiple people. Oh, I like that. Yeah,
but you can someone see, gets off to that. Someone laughing.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, for everyone.
The German Adult Film Awards.
I think. But I mean, that is weird because I'm sure you've had comedians make you laugh so hard that it hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, I like to laugh until it hurts, but I think that's a forced laugh, right?
Yeah, it's a forced.
Did they start off small? Like,
well, see, that's what I don't know what point I caught it. So it would have been interesting to see, like, maybe it started with a joke,
or maybe
no, like that would have been awesome.
No, forced laugh for 4 hours. That means your boss is telling a story.
Yes.
That's what that means.
Cheryl is. Oh, she's a handful.
That's your boss talking about his trip to Vegas in detail. That's what. Yeah,
man, that's.
And the funny thing was, they didn't have peanuts. Oh my god!
Yeah,
I just. I gotta
get back.
Are
to
you
that.
Serious?
Oh,
are you serious?
Wow. I just gotta, yes.
And don't call HR on me, but.
Yeah. Oh,
and
no.
The gate was B9. Get it? Like benign. I don't know where I come up with this stuff.
circus.
Can I just get back to work? The game was B9. I would have been really laughing, but at them.
Right, exactly.
I would have been for real laughing, dude.
But the movie has been getting a lot of buzz and a lot of verification that it is indeed not just a one-trick pony, but it is indeed an entertaining movie. It's not the only movie that's done that. There's other movies like Time Code, similar.
Yeah.
But it's like four angles all cut together. That's on one screen.
Angle Saxons.
Angle fishing. Inspires our first topic of the evening, and the topic is, what is your favorite long take in a movie? Victoria is one long take of a movie. It's 2 hours, but a lot of other films, other directors or other films have very notorious long scenes, one takes, and there's lots of different methods of how it's pulled out, and most times the more impressive ones are usually how much is going on, the movement. It starts from one place, it goes to another place, and you have to think about all the challenges of moving actors and extras and sound crew and grips and make sure the camera gear isn't in the shot and et cetera, et cetera. And it's very, very challenging. And a lot of impressive feats have been done. So that's the question. What is your favorite long take in a film? I would kick it off and say mine's actually, there's a lot of impressive ones in terms of technicality, but in terms of just coolness and just how it's pulled off and how effective the shot is, one of my favorite long takes in a movie is in the movie Electric Light and Blue. And it is a 1973...
We still need to watch that movie.
It's a very, very good movie. It's a 1973 movie starring Robert Blake about a motorcycle cop and his whole aspiration is to become a detective. Like, he's just the regular beat cop, rides a bike, and he just one day wants to be like one of the big boys, drive a convertible and wear a cowboy hat, wear the cool clothes and solve crimes and shit. And then he gets wrapped up on one crime scene. And he eventually gets his wish. And it's a really, like a lot of movies from the early 70s, it's very sad and very grim and bitter. And it is absolutely excellent. I saw it for the first time in 2007. And it blew me away in how, like, wow, this is a really cool lost gem, even though Robert Blake is probably though Robert Blake questionably may have paid someone to murder his wife. That aside, it is still a very entertaining movie. Yeah. The movie...
That was much later, though.
Yeah, exactly. Brenna did that shit. That was the Chappelle Show. The ending of the movie, and not to spoil the movie, but the ending of the movie has an extremely, really cool long shot. And it's not so much impressive in a technical standpoint because it's at a character on the middle of a highway, and it starts with a certain action, and then it just starts to slowly pan back, and it's this one long shot of just the camera going further and further away down the highway to where you just see nothing
in the
horizon.
At the beginning of Train Spotting?
Yeah.
You know?
And so that last shot is this Arizona, like, highway with this beautiful blue sky and these beautiful mountains, and it's just the slow pullback, and the ending song's done by Terry Kath, who was in Chicago, who did the soundtrack for the movie, and it is really... really, really fucking agonizing, depressing, sad, but at the same time beautiful. It's an amazing long shot, but you know, compared to a lot of other movies, it's not like technically so much impressive because it's like one man, one highway, and it just pans back. But the effectiveness of it with the music and the actual scene and the context of it, it's really, really fucking cool. And I didn't want to like ape a lot of answers. I think people would. Especially here, the table would probably possibly take. So yeah, Electric Light Blue. You like that movie? You should see it. It's really, really good if you haven't seen
it. Yeah, we're supposed to see it. You're supposed to have us over to see it, but yes, you hate us.
I do hate y'all.
Does it have to be a movie?
It doesn't have to be a movie, and it could be a cheat too.
I didn't want to do a cheat because there was a few that were cheats, and I looked them up, and to me the best you know one takes are the ones that you didn't know. We're one take because you're so involved in the movie.
Right, exactly.
You didn't realize it until afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a few that I was going to answer, but if we're allowed not to have a movie, then I am going to say my favorite one take because it was noticeable, but not in a bad way. You're like, holy shit, I haven't seen an edit. Was in the first season of True Detective.
Oh, you jerk.
Did I take it? Wow, I'm okay. Sorry.
That's going to be my honorable mention.
The honorable, okay.
I got another one.
Okay, good. Because... Matthew McConaughey is, you know, basically playing Vice at this drug dealer's house, and he is getting raided, if I'm not mistaken, by another group of like gangsters trying
to
steal.
Well,
what
happened
right?
is Matthew McConaughey is deep undercover with some meth head bikers. Mm-hmm. They kidnapped one of the black guys from the gang, so they had him
like knelt down.
Yeah, they had him gunned down, and then they were trying to get the safe open, which I guess was rigged with explosives.
Yep.
So they're slowly trying to do that. But while they're doing that, the people outside are realizing, hey, something's going on in there. So they start throwing rocks through the windows.
Exactly.
All these bikers are methed up around a bunch of black people they don't like, and one of them ends up shooting them. And then it's set off. And
then
the whole
And
the ghetto explodes. It's
a fucking projects. It's like these little townhomes and stuff that just open wide, and there's families and kids, and it's a shootout. And he, Matthew McConaughey is, you're following him the entire time.
Yeah.
And he's basically cop stancing. Like he's up against a wall. He has his fucking 45 out, right? He's busting into doors. There's a guy that's like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. He shoots him. Another guy fucking hits him with a bat.
Time he's got the guy in the head.
And he has a fucking hostage with him, and it's choreographed.
Is this
great.
The last episode?
No, it's not.
It's like the second to last episode.
And then it's also choreographed with Woody Harrelson driving in a car to come and pick him up.
Do I have to know any of the other episodes to appreciate this
Zero.
Episode? YouTube. No. Well, I have stolen an HBO Go username and password, so I can
Just watch that episode without watching the whole thing.
But
and
you should
it's
probably
worth
watch
it.
The whole show.
Yeah, it's worth it. It won't. Here's the thing about that episode.
I already watched Steven Universe. All right.
Which Mike is so excited that you like. You can watch that show standalone, and it's entertaining. And then you can watch that show first and then the rest of it later, and it won't affect your viewing. But yeah, it was great.
It's that scene's so great because
I haven't seen it since I saw it for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I rewatched that scene like every other month or something like that. It's one of those scenes I like to watch movie scenes like songs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
awesome. Like-minded people. But my favorite part about that that long shot is every few feet, the guy starts coming through. These guys in the headlocks, he's got to punch him a couple times in the head.
Damn. Yeah, he needs to stop to fucking tell him, you know, show him that he's being serious. And he never – like, there's parts where you can kind of see a fucking dolly track, but you're like, that could be the sidewalk. That could be the sidewalk of the hood.
A couple punches that you like, I don't really think he connected, but all right.
But I'll give it to him because he's so excited. In real life, he may have really missed anyway.
Or I just love you. The only thing is, if you have some background for it, you realize how deep undercover he is and how badass Matthew McConaughey is.
Yeah.
That character he plays in True Detective is like.
Yeah.
Remember when he's
I started watching the first episode and then something happened.
True Detective makes The Wire look like True Detective 2.
I don't know about all that.
The first season of True Detective makes the second season of The Wire look like the second season of True Detective.
I've seen none of
those. The second season of The Wire was pretty bunk. Is that the one where...
I don't know. I was just throwing shit out. Just to say how shitty the second season of True Detective was.
Well, I've heard great things about The Wire,
Yeah, too. And season two of True Detective, it's not...
Is The Wire on HBO? The Wire's on HBO and you can watch it. And it's been remastered in HD, so there you go.
I gotta look at that. But the thing about True Detective season two is that it wasn't a mystery.
You're right.
Well, it was like a long episode of Law and Order drawn out where it's like you knew who did it before the last episode when they did the reveal. If you watched the show, you knew who did it. Wasn't that over your head?
Well,
but I like Law and Order.
They pose a mystery like, all right, cool, let's get to the bottom. And then you're like, what are they looking for again?
And then they say what they're looking for. Reveal.
Oh, shit. Yeah, there you go. Oh, okay. All right.
Not to give any spoilers, but I'll put it to you like this. Hey, we're looking for this. Hey, we found this. Yeah, whatever. But this... That's what True Detective...
And then episode 8, but do you remember this? Oh snap.
Man, I just wish...
The first Saw movie, where it's like, oh, that's...
We're spoiled, though, because like if that show... If that season 2 had came out like maybe like 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, people were like, holy shit, this is fucking good.
Yeah.
That's how I feel because I've never watched Dexter, and I remember you telling me you not liking it because
Dexter.
You hated it.
Yeah.
So I gave it a shot, and I was like, man, fuck this show. But because I've seen like – now I've seen it, and it hasn't aged well, I guess. And so I didn't really care for it.
No,
myself,
I saw the
so.
First episode. I'm like, no serial killer is good. This thing is a Robin Hood. Here's some fries, motherfucker.
That's what we got out of it.
Yeah.
No, I like your point though about was season two really that bad, or is it just bad in comparison to the phenomenalness?
So, like they set the bar
a lot of other
high.
Shows. It was kind of poor compared
Southern
to a lot
Gothic.
Of other shows.
I mean, who does Southern Gothic? with a detective thing to it. I mean, that's look, a winner.
Would Phantom Menace be as bad if it was just its own movie?
Yes.
See, that's what I was saying about True Detective season two. It does not. It's way off topic, but it does not fucking have the same story arc. It does not have the same directorial style. It does not have the same mystery behind it. It doesn't have the same charm. It doesn't have the same linear storytelling.
Well, the writing is dog shit. I'll give you that. There's some of the most cringy lines in that second season.
Oh, yeah.
But they're cops. They're not, like, they're trying to be clever. And that's, I kind of believe that, where it's like, all right, they're almost a little too smart in the first one.
I was giving every episode, I should say, credit for a payoff that I never got, and that's why I'm just like, fuck that movie.
And I never found out if they shit in that kid's shoes or not. They did. That's all
they
wanted.
Cut him up.
What kid?
The beginning. Just,
his son.
He's like, oh, what happened to your shoes? Did they shit in them? Yes, that's awesome. That's the first thing that came to that dude's mind. That, like, what happened to that kid's shoes? The first, he came out fucking first bullet. Did they shit in them?
Because he used to do that.
Yeah, because he used to shit in people's shoes.
That was his go-to move.
Yeah, so
it's just the pity and shame and just,
did they shit in them? Yes, fuck yes. I love this show.
That was great.
And it just stepped in. No, they just cut him up.
No, I love when he's talking to, what's your name, Aspen? Aspen? He's like bullying the little kid.
That's what they name 12-year-olds nowadays. Yeah.
Bring your dad out here. No, you watch this. This is what happens. He beat the dad up.
So there you go. True Detective. God. It's all about that scene.
That was season two, right?
In season two.
It's all about the first episode. And then after that, you could just take a shit into some kid's shoes and it'll be just as entertaining.
Yeah, good call. I hate that I have to agree that season two is bad, because everybody on the line was saying that. I'm like, no, fuck you. Season two. But you're right.
I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was horrible. All right. Yeah, I thought it was all right.
That's why I went to see the Fantastic Four movie. Is because I was like, well, and it was for free. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not that bad. And then I was like, God.
I think everybody just pretends to like the Fantastic Four. Because that's a boring ass fucking, like, that is horrible. It surprised me not at all that movie bombed. Because I was like, they're really making another one. My second thing is, their only villain or their main villain should be the Thing. They should every issue, they should be worried that the Thing's going to come around the corner and beat their fucking ass for turning them into a fucking giant rock monster and shit. He'd be like, I had a couple concerns about the space flight, you know. I think maybe we're a little hasty with going to the gamma radiation. Oh, yeah, my dick is now rocks, motherfucker. And
you
they should
ruin my life.
Yeah, and he should be their villain. That's what I'm saying. He should be a part of the team and all that. And that's where they lose me for Fantastic Four originally.
It added Peach Cobbler in time.
Peach Cobbler in time, yeah.
Anyway, but so. My favorite long take is already just put it as the video, and he put it as the picture, and it was a previous answer of mine. I like how it's called best action sequence ever filmed.
Somebody called it that, which is
because
fine.
That's what the answer was.
Yeah,
which is from Hard Boiled, the John Woo action movie, in which it's like 2 minutes and 12 seconds of nonstop shooting. Violence, the amount of choreography, the amount of squibs and explosions and people jumping through windows and getting kicked and shot. And it has one of the best things ever in any action sequence. It's is with all this, all the movies you've ever seen of all the shooting and gunfire and commotion. How many times does a good guy get shot by a good guy? And that's what happens in this scene.
It's
the best part of it is elevator door opens. He just starts firing because he's been getting shot at the past 30 seconds. Who walks out? His FBI buddy. He shoots him 3 times in the chest. And it's such a good scene.
Does he kill him?
No, yeah, he kills him.
And best part is they get into the elevator. He's like, I think I just shot it. He was one of ours, right? And Chiang Fat's like, no, man, you're delusional. You're delusional. But then they start shooting some more later. And then he goes, so I shot one of our guys, right? And he's like, yeah, you did. He's like, damn it. And it's like so good. It's so good. I can't even imagine what it took. Like, cause
it was the six takes. It took 6 takes to do it. It was originally supposed to be a six minute long take.
Was supposed to be on 2 different floors.
Yeah.
The elevator stopped working and didn't work. So they had to close the elevator door, reset the entire set.
and then open the doors and shoot it again, which it is unbelievable.
And they did that six times.
and you talk about watching scenes, just like music, that I can watch because it is freaking...
I'm going to check that one out.
It is...
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my God. Yeah. The whole movie is a whole...
Yeah, the whole movie is amazing action sequences. But that one in particular, because it's one take, it is music, man. It is absolute freaking symphony of... destruction, because it really is all sorts of violence and shooting, and I can't imagine the amount of rehearsal, choreography,
and acting. It's between all that action, there's this really well acted scene that you're talking about in the elevator, and then they have to pull out of the acting and get back into
killing people.
Yeah.
Such a good scene.
Yeah, no,
great movie. So good.
So they're Chinese people who don't do kung fu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They do gun fu.
That's the move. People were like, man, these kung fu movies aren't doing it. And then John Woo said, you know what? How about a bunch of Chinese dudes shooting the fuck out of each other? Yes. And then came this oceans and oceans of films of just Chinese dudes just shooting the shit out of each other. Yeah.
Woo was able to make that movie because of Face Off, right?
There you go. That's it. That's it. That's the history of John Woo right there. Yes. He did it.
Way to go.
He did kung fu movies first, too, though, actually. No. It's true, Doc. He worked with Sammo.
He took his face.
And Jackie. Off.
Chan.
He worked with them both.
Alonzo can too.
Yeah.
What's up, y'all?
What's your favorite wrong take?
My favorite long take? The one that came to mind is you seen Drive?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first scene in Drive I thought was awesome. Then the rest of the movie sucked. But that but that first scene, I highly suggest that first scene in Drive, y'all. Then you can walk out. But it felt so... like you were in the driver's seat with the guy. This immersed you so well. And it was the first scene of the movie. And I was high as hell. So it was great. But, I really believed that this guy was a badass race car dude, even though he was doing a lot of unbelievable shit. But somehow I think they really did the driving or something, but the physics felt like it was heavy, but it was also like really delicate and smooth with the driving, I guess. I also liked it because, like, man, this movie's going to be amazing. Yeah. If this is what the whole movie's going to be like, no. He's like a stunt driver, and that's the only time he does any stunt driving is that first scene. But, I mean.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that movie a lot.
You like that movie a lot,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah.
Even when they had that stupid-ass scene where he's, like, with the lady and the kid, and they go to the river, and he doesn't talk because he doesn't ever talk at all.
The part, like, the middle, there's a middle scene in there with a person we'll talk about later, but holy shit. Holy shit, with fuck yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Holy shit, yeah. I
thought the movie was okay.
Yeah, it's not like a favorite of mine. Like, I think some people that saw it, they were like putting it on a pedestal, and I didn't put it up that high.
Love Ryan
but I did
Gosling.
Like it, though. I liked it thoroughly.
No, I like when Ryan Gosling turned that dude's face into Taco Land.
Hell yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. And the neat thing that came out of that was Hotline Miami.
True story.
Yeah, true story. Yeah, that was the inspiration for that game.
Facebook answers. Ross Carter says, I know it was inspired by Old Boy and technically not a movie, but the fight scene in the end of episode two of Daredevil was rad.
Yeah.
There's also a long take in Atonement that I thought was really neat. But yeah, that Daredevil fight scene. Yeah,
that Old Boy one, I'm surprised I didn't think about that.
Oh, no, that's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, was that a long take, right?
It's one long
take. That was so claustrophobic. Hammer scene.
So good.
That was number one in a list of best long takes ever.
I'm so surprised I didn't think about that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that one's good. And then Tony Jaa,
the protector.
Tom Young-goon. Alfred Perez says, Citizen Kane, Mr. Thatcher meets young Charlie Kane, or the post-election scene with Charlie Kane and Jedediah Lim. Gregor Pierre, also another vote for Daredevil, episode two. Nice. RTB, Ryan Timothy Bray says, Children of Men.
See,
Benitez, Children of Men car scene.
Yeah, I saw
that. Oh, that's a different one.
I don't know if they're both talking about the same thing, because Children of Men does the thing that I'm talking about of where they do a lot of fake. It's fake, you're thinking it, but that car scene is one take.
That's awesome.
Which is utterly amazing.
I like that scene better than the scene that the fight scene or the gun
shootout
fight
scene
is
the
scene that gets a lot of credit, but I think the car scene was.
Yeah, I really like the car scene.
Watch there,
degree of difficulty.
Yeah, no, I've downloaded it multiple times. So
yeah, it's a good movie. It's really good.
It's very good.
Andrew Thomas says the last scene of True Detective, very tense. Episode 4, I think that's the.
Yeah, it was 4 or 6, I forget.
Catherine Contreras says Goodfellas, the Steadicam shot. Johnny Luna says Sling Blade.
The lamp-lit monologue where he tells his backstory, phenomenal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's always a good long takes, too. Long takes is not so much, like, again, on a technical level, but also dialogue as well. Yeah. Actors going through dialogue, which is, you know, like, it goes back to theater, which I think is nice when actually people do that. It's pretty neat.
And lighting.
Is the first scene in Godfather a long take or no? I kind of feel like there might be some cuts.
It's a cuts, like an over-the-shoulder thing.
Robbie Duarte says Reservoir Dogs, the first scene at the table.
Yeah, again, the dialogue, it's about the pacing, and it's awesome.
Travis K says Porky's in the office when Ball Bricker is trying to convince Coach Brackett and Mr. Carter to have a lineup to identify the offending tallywhacker. I always laugh until I'm crying with
nice.
That scene.
Yeah.
Wow. Comedy.
Identify the prick.
Cesar Portillo says Taxi Driver, anyone? So
which scene?
I don't know. Taxi Driver. I can.
Now, maybe that. Are you looking at me? One. It's like you're talking to me. Nobody else here.
Well, there's a bunch of. But there's lots of little scenes like
longer
that.
Takes.
Yeah.
Gabriel Diaz says the spiral staircase scene in The Protector. So that's the one I'm talking about. Tony Jaa, utterly amazing.
Yeah.
Charles Gomez says Goodfellas takes a cake for me, but Birdman was a good movie because of the long scenes. I found myself out of breath just watching them. Justin Cooper also says Birdman, does that count? And so that's another movie where it makes it feel like it's one long take. John Flores says the one man jam session in Gus Van Zandt's Last Days. Michael Pitt's take on Cobain was pretty on point all around. Never seen it, but he does put a link, so we can go look at that later. Shaggy from Poodle Slam says fight scene with the elevator ride in Hard Boiled. Wow, so that's
Shaggy,
the one.
You're not going to. I think it's because Good Burger, the strawberry.
I think it's because
I did put it up as an example because we.
I think
about
Jess just posted the video.
I don't know if Regan was going to use the same answer, but either way, it doesn't matter. It's a good scene.
Fuck him.
Andy Salinas Garza, whoever that is, said Goodfellas when Henry takes Karen through the back of the Copacabana. I replay that scene in my head every time Larry gets me into the comedy club.
Oh, that's awesome.
See the back through the kitchen and stuff like that.
So. The reason why I put Hardboiled is because I thought you'd maybe, like, since we talked about it before in detail, you wouldn't have that answer again. So the other answer that I think is awesome that I thought you would probably mention is the opening scene of Strange Days. So, the opening of Strange Days is amazing because it's I think a lot of days now, like young filmmakers now, because of GoPros and little mobile cameras, they can do scenes like that on the easy with a good stuntman.
Oh,
that is a Steadicam operator from a POV perspective of an entire of a restaurant burglary and a police
chase,
and it is.
I didn't even think about that one.
It's like Catherine Bigelow has a couple of them because there's a long scene in a Point Break. It's the same thing. It's a long one take. She was fucking good at that shit.
And shout out to Kill Bill. I was expecting someone on Facebook to say the Kill Bill scene when the bride goes and Oreni Ishii. Yeah. And she's following her, and she's jumps up, hides behind the bathroom, and then fucking Julia Dreyfus.
Then finally, Justin Wilcoxon says the intro to Jackie Brown was good.
It is. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, in the airport.
Is. Yeah. Very. That reminds me of something that's like in Electric Light and Blue. Like, it's just not like you expect all this like technicality, but just like a good, beautiful shot. Just you see it and you soak it in. You're like, oh, that's like fucking good. With the right music. Fuck yeah.
Fuck like
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Long so, takes, dude.
Long takes,
and then
dog.
Shout out to Load Warrior by Peter North.
He's got a history. He's got a lot of like fucking long
there's some
takes.
Really good takes there, dude.
Yeah, some long takes.
Long ropes of takes.
Yeah, long ropes of takes. So, Victoria, a German movie that's hitting the festival circuit right now. Hopefully hit theaters this winter, maybe. And we'll see if it's as good as to earn that German film award. So we'll see that. But I like it. So, Victoria, I'm going to look into that.
And now, guys, it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
Great.
That's right. This is my segment talking about being a father. Alonzo, do you have any kids?
No, thank God.
Yes. A guy in his 20s without any kids. You hit the gold mine, Charlie. In this edition of Dad's Cornered, we're going to talk about what was your jam when you were a kid. Right now the kids are getting into an age, especially since Gunner has an older sibling to look up to, much like I did, of like really getting into music and just like really, really getting into music. And there's songs that I remember, like, you know, Soundtrack of Life, right?
Right.
And for whatever reason, you get into these songs. And for Gunner,
And it's because of you, Jess, not because of the millions of people that got on the bandwagon. Because if you listen to some early episodes of Public Access Podcast, we are responsible for Gangnam Style.
Yeah, we are. It was already big when we brought it up.
Nah, a trillion hits already.
It wasn't at a billion hits. It was at a few million.
Like, it was like 2 million, dude.
You guys gave it that cosign.
We did. We're hipsters about fucking Psy. And the video was hilarious, and it became what it became because of public access.
You know what? Fuck that. I still like that shit.
I like it, too.
It's on my phone. I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. You ever heard Gentleman?
Yeah.
Gentleman's a bomb-ass song. You know what I'm saying? But Gunner, so that was, what, 2-3 years ago? Yeah, Gunner's only 5.
Yeah. It's 2-3 years ago, yeah.
So he was into that song when he was, like, 2 or 3, right? And because he thought it was Gunner style. Right. So that was his song. So if you play Gangnam Style now, and it's not on the radio anymore, it's not on TV, he will jam the fuck out.
Like it's on Just Dance as well, right?
It's on Just Dance, okay, exactly. Cool. And funny enough, his jam currently, the summer jam for my son, is I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss because of Just Dance. He knows all the fucking words to that song.
That's fucking hilarious.
And so I was talking to Andy. I was like, what's Mikey's? My daughter, she's 10. She's getting into Nirvana right now. She's really breeds her song, breeds her jam. But growing up, it was Thriller. She knows all the words to Thriller. When she was like 3 years old, she was reciting it. She was doing the Vincent Price part. Yeah. And so the reason why it's her jam is because my uncles tease her about it. And I know my uncles, till she's 20 years old, are going to be like, do Thriller! You know, like they're good. That's my uncle. So it's pegged for her. That was her jam. So it made me think, what was my jam when I was a kid?
Right.
And I'm not talking like, you know, what song defines me? No. I'm talking about what song
did you fucking start
that you remember and
get on your feet. Come on. That's me.
Yeah.
But my niece, you remember that song S&M by Rihanna?
Oh God, no. Yeah.
My niece, innocent, sweet little 6-year-old baby girl, blonde hair, beautiful. I'm riding in the car with her, and that song comes on the radio, and she starts singing every single word.
Sex in the air. I love the smell of it.
Yeah, and she doesn't know what it means because she's 6 years old, so she has no idea what
that is.
She knows what sex is, but she doesn't know all the other. She doesn't know whips and chains, excitement. Yeah. She doesn't know. She just thinks it's a funny, happy song.
There's these,
and I was like, no,
no, baby, no. I don't let. Rihanna's like my guilty pleasure. I like Rihanna a lot. Always have, right? But S&M's the worst song that she has. Don't. It's not. It's, and especially after she got fucking beat up by Chris Brown, then S&M came out. I thought that's Illuminati, man. And so,
is there a Kids Bop version of that song?
Yeah, right.
It'd be fucking awesome. Yeah.
Pizza in the air. I love the smell of it. So.
That's terrifyingly like good.
That's probably real. Yeah,
that's like really good.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Kids Bop guy at home, like, whoa.
The same guy
that made Gangnam Style big
because he listens to this podcast. Muffins and scones, but like, so I don't let her listen to that. So it made me think about what was my jam when I was a kid, and what it was as I bought the single on tape. I had it on repeat, and it was Bobby Brown's "On Our Own" from the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack.
Of course it was.
I know every single word to that song. I had a Walkman, and I played that shit on repeat. It was the regular version, the radio edit, and when it went to the other side, instrumental. I don't know why singles came with instrumentals.
They wanted people to fucking rap on them. That's why they were like karaoke tracks.
So yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
That's why. That's
why. And you and me, you know how we're feeling. It didn't even make me think of the movie. I just thought it was a cool fucking song. Jam.
Yeah.
Bobby Brown played a fucking doorman on Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, if you can get his brother a proton pack.
And he's like, it was not a kid's toy. And it made me think, oh, dude, it's not.
It's not a kid's toy.
It's a nuclear
magnet. Right. No, they'll never get one.
As soon as you meet someone, ask them for something for free. Like, fuck you, Bobby Brown.
What?
See what he did to Whitney? Yeah, it's like that freeloader shit. Drink all our Bombay gin. Why don't you, Bobby Brown?
No. That's a callback, man.
empty it out. It's like, man, you're a guest, Bobby Brown. I'm giving you a proton pack.
It's like, you don't want to think that Bobby Brown's going to be like Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
But then Bobby Brown goes
does some Bobby Brown ass shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, he sure does.
Come on, Bobby Brown.
Oh, man. Egon's not going to give you a proton pack just because he opened the door for him, man.
Hey, he gave it a shot.
Yeah, I guess. Ain't nobody humping around.
Okay, so that was that was your jam. And on top of...
Not humping around.
No.
No, I love Bobby Brown. Yeah, my prerogative, it was all good. But my jam...
My prerogative and On Our Own was the same song as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, man, you're
it's
wrong.
It's my prerogative. It crossed... It was the same you. Song. I hear
What's
the same
really funny
there.
Is On Our Own is not available on YouTube.
It won't you mean let not, you not do legitimately.
It. Yeah, you have to get the Ghostbusters DVD, and it's a bonus feature.
Oh, so it's not legitimate.
Yeah,
okay,
it is not legitimate on YouTube.
There's probably like someone like bootlegging that.
But
song.
It's just like on the first Ghostbusters with the Parker Lewis,
Ray Parker Jr. Yeah. Yes,
they had all those cameos like Danny DeVito and stuff. That's the same with the fucking On Our
half
Own.
Those guys are dead. That's
the
why.
Fucking or the Ramones are on the video, and so is Howard. It might have been the Ramones. There's a bunch of New York people that are on there. So Bobby Brown On Our Own.
That was
my jam when I was a kid.
I like it. Yeah.
My jam. It's the first piece of music that I ever bought. 1989.
My first tape too.
1989. It is Technotronic's Move This.
That was the first album I bought.
That's the first I bought the single on cassette.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
But when that was your jam?
Oh, this was 9. It was the first piece of music that I purchased with my own money. It was a cassette single of Technotronic's boom, 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 boom.
Come on,
boom, 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 boom. And to this day, it's a freaking jam. I love it. And like you said, it's a single, and I had the boom box that if you push repeat, it would flip it, rewind it, and play it again. And you can just do that. I think it was my brother's though, so I can't think. But anyway, I would listen to that song over and over, and eventually, maybe I did eventually get the full album, but that was the first piece of music that I ever purchased.
Me too.
Was Move This by Technotronic. God, and even when you asked the question, I thought about it, I played it over in my head, and I was like, I just started bobbing my head, just even thinking.
This is a question that just immediate.
That started thinking about it, was like, yeah, that's a jam. Like, that song brings back fun, good, positive feelings and memories and vibes and stuff. So, yeah, Technotronic, Move This.
Do you remember what you were thinking? Like what the song said to you?
It's just pure music. And I've always been this way. I have never been a lyrics person my entire life.
Opposite.
I am not a lyrics person. I could care less about what you're saying. It is how the music makes me feel.
Did you like Bush? The band Bush?
Bush was okay.
Yeah, that's why, because his lyrics are fucking stupid.
I'm sure they're terrible.
Yeah, I hated
Bush. I'm sure they're
Bush
terrible.
When they came out.
Yeah, that's why I don't like them.
Because lyrically, they're fucking
so
idiots.
Musically, it was up-paced. It was beat. And to this day, like, I love dancing.
Left
I love me some gay club remixes of songs. Like, you know, like, they'll take, like, a regular song, and they'll just mix it to, like, a dance song. I love that. So that was it, man. It was just that beat. It was great. It's called Move This. Like, it was just fun.
I'm with you, man.
Okay, what were you thinking about with your Bobby Brown song? Like, well, when he was a kid.
I remember thinking when he goes, Heart Soul, dance. I didn't know that his background dancers were named Heart and Soul. I thought that he was talking to himself. You know what I mean? Like, he was talking to his heart and his soul to dance. And it just made me think, like, you know, yeah, man. Yeah, we're on our own, man. Ain't nobody else. Just me and the music, dude.
Yeah.
That's all I need. And then I got into Pantera.
Yeah.
That was the evolution. What about you, Jess?
I'm a little older than Larry and Regan.
So, Pennsylvania, 6,500.
Hello, my honey. Hello, my honey. All right,
little Diddy.
Charleston, yeah.
Little Diddy. I'm a man. Yeah. 86.
Constant sorrow.
I got it. I got it.
Bluegrass.
We're doing some politicking. 86, the thing that baffled my stepsisters, because they were into pop music, they were into like Madonna, Menudo, and whatever was, well, that wasn't really what was big all around, but that was big for them.
For them, yeah.
The thing that's, to me, that immediately, like probably the first song that I really gravitated toward was Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer.
Right on.
Which baffled the fuck out of them. They didn't understand why, like, that song.
Was it because of the video?
It was purely because of the video. Because the video was unbelievable. It was fucking amazing, and it was, like, animation and just the way it was done. It was an amazing video. But the song itself, I really, really liked the way, like, that song made me feel, like, the way it sounded. It's probably the first thing I could probably think of that was, like thinking of it as music, you know?
Yeah.
And Stepsisters could not fathom what it was, because to them, it wasn't what was, it wasn't the pop songs. It was popular, but it wasn't young people. Right. It was an older guy. And I didn't know that he was in Genesis, and I didn't know he was affiliated with Phil Collins, which was in that band, and I didn't know any of that history whatsoever. I just know that this song was just sounded fucking awesome, and every time I hear it, I associate it with the video, and it ended up being MTV's video of the year for that thing. And my stepsisters hated the fact that why did that win? It's just this dude, and they didn't get this the art behind it, and that song was like my jam because of just the way it was.
That's how I felt about Let's Get Rocked by Def Leppard. I love that song because the video was so cool. Video? That CG video. And I got the single, but I'm like, I never liked that song. Yeah. Even when I liked it, I just liked the video so much.
I still, Sledgehammer, that song I think is
a good song.
Fucking cool. I like it a lot. It's very, very cool. That was my jam.
Alonzo, you're way younger than us.
Yeah, I know.
How old are you?
I'm 25 right now. Right, cool. I think my jam, this is back when I was 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And this is, I don't know, this is embarrassing on some levels, but.
They kind
of
should be.
Yeah. It was the second single from the debut album of the Backstreet Boys.
There we go.
As Long As You Love Me.
Oh. Straight up. Yeah.
I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did, now, as long as you love
me. Like you sang along and shit?
Oh, yeah. Like you asked us. Turn these motherfuckers off. Let me take care of this one. Got it from here, guys.
Now, like you asked us, where were you mentally? Was that you talking to a girl that
that's what I'm saying. I don't know why the fuck I was like, as long as you love me. I don't care what you did.
Like, was that you, like, your romantic, like, because I remember when I was a kid.
No, this is the gay shit of it. Actually, I think it was, because I'm still fruity as fuck. I'm just trying to hide as hard as I possibly can. But, I'm sure it was like one of my parents, like, hey, you should hang out with those kids down the block because, you know, they're bad kids. They, you know, light shit on fire or whatever. I'm like, sing to them, I guess. I'm saying, I don't care who you are. Can my parents session hang out with you? As long as you love me.
Yeah, I get it. That was you wanted acceptance.
I wanted acceptance.
All right. I like that. Do you have older siblings, like older sisters?
I have younger siblings.
Younger siblings. Okay. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, because I could totally get that if you had an older sister, because like I was lucky because my older sister Frances was into metal, so I got into Faith No More and Metallica and stuff because that's what she liked. If she was into pop music, then that's what I would have wanted to be like her and been into that. So I got very lucky. Well, that's what I was saying. If you had an older sister, but you didn't.
No, if I never had any older siblings to teach you how to be cool, I guess what I'm saying is like to say, hey, you might want to listen to your Spice Girls CD at your house. You know, you don't want to bring it to school and show everybody your Spice Girls CD. Nobody else wants to spice up the world with you.
My two very masculine, macho, cool older brothers are responsible for like my secondary jam all songs, which is super gay, which I didn't know at the time. I was like 12, was Erasure, basically their greatest hits.
They
had their greatest hits album, and I used to sing the hell out of, and I don't know
give
if you
give me
know,
a little, I don't know, what's your single?
Good. Chain of Fools, Stop, Always, damn it. Come to me, cover me, hold me, together we'll break these chains of love.
That's it.
I don't know. Anyway. I used to sing those songs by myself. not knowing these were all songs written by gay men for gay men. Like, that's what these songs are for. They are one of the gayest bands of all time.
Yeah.
I learned that much later.
Yeah, when you see their live.
Yeah, when you see their live.
That concert's the shit, though.
Exactly.
I was like, man, this is off the chain here.
They're great. They're great. Amazing. Like I said, I'm not really listening. I just like the way the music makes me feel. I'm not really listening to the lyrics. And then, yeah, and then I was like, man, that's really gay. They just sing the hell out of that music. Yeah. Just
actually, boys, kudos for admitting that.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Yeah, the first CD I got, like I said, Spice Girls.
Spice World?
Yeah, Spice Girls, Spice World. Spice up your life.
Technotronic.
Wait, no. If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. Like my second jam. Oh, yeah.
I liked that song when it came out.
Yeah.
I was into...
Was that one long take?
Posh Spice.
It was on one long take, man!
All right. I'll tell you what I want, what I really want.
Good answer.
That song still... I mean, there's still girls, I guess, my age that will put on Spice World because like, when they go out to party and all that. That album still gets play. I don't know. It's a classic. I think back... I was just thinking about Backstreet Boys. I was like, man, that song is still good.
Yeah, there is some chick that looked like Ginger Spice that I fingered. What about...
It always comes back to fingering you.
No, fingers of yours.
He loves talking about
fingers.
Listen
to your fingers.
Oh, they've seen some shit, literally. Yeah, I was on the Rattler. So what are we...
Facebook answers. Ross Carter says, this is a good one, Baby Baby by Amy Grant.
Wow.
Oh, baby,
Gregory Peer says, Hopelessly Human by Kansas.
Fuck yeah, you did. Fuck Susie, yeah, you did, Kansas.
Susie Hamilton says Superstitious by Europe.
What?
Right.
Oh, man.
Adam Garcia says Whoop, There It Is.
Nice, yes. Okay.
Dust in the Wind was one of my jams, though, yes. I was eight.
Berto Garcia says The Sign by Ace of Base. That was really good.
Yeah.
Alfred Perez says Oh, Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers Swing the Mood. Yeah. Stacey Medina says every song on Paula Abdul's Forever Your Girl album.
Fair enough.
Great,
Paula. You're a cold-hearted snake.
Andrew Thomas says The Rockefeller Skank by Fatboy Slim off the Digimon movie soundtrack.
That's great. Yes. Soundtracks. That's where you're at.
Fuck yeah.
Good for you.
Fuck yeah, you
Andrew
did.
Thomas.
That's right.
That is great.
That's right, motherfucker.
Yeah, thank you for citing that reference of where it came from.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's
I love that song, too.
But Digimon.
That's perfect. Like you, the Ghostbusters soundtrack. Soundtrack, where you get introduced to all those music.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Yeah. Carlos Castro says Going the Distance by Cake.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All
right. Felicia Sandoval says Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do with It? And my first cassette tape, Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now. That is one of my personal all-time favorites.
Yeah. I like Tiffany.
That's like my go-to karaoke jam is Tiffany's I Think We're Alone Now.
Finger chicken tomorrow.
That'd be a good question. Yeah. What's your go-to karaoke jam?
I thought Tiffany was going to be my wife.
Did you?
Yeah.
You had a thing for Tiffany?
Yeah, she replaced Madonna because when Madonna got weird, and then it was like,
I had a thing for
Tiffany. Was wholesome.
But then she got her hair black, and I was like, okay, no, Madonna's my woman wife again.
We got to start fantasizing about other people, Madonna.
I just
wanted both sisters from Charles in Charge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you're into white girls. See, my chick was...
He said that all disgusted.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's weird. I was into Duff from MTV.
Nothing wrong with that.
God damn
nothing
it. Wrong with yeah.
that. All right.
Big damn straight.
Yeah,
oh, MTV my gosh. Did. Athena Wood says, Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters. That is a jam.
It is.
That is such a good song. That's off a soundtrack.
Beverly Hills Cop.
This motherfucker over here. Nice.
Love Neutron Dance.
Yeah. We've talked about that song before. That's why.
Love it.
That Crystal, song has popped up, I think, a couple times in this goddamn
Love
show.
Neutron Dance. I'm going to listen to it later tonight. Crystal Hernandez-Reller says, Whoop, There It Is. That's two.
Yeah.
Robbie Tuarte says, Crisscross Jump.
Mm-hmm.
That's a ton for everybody, I bet.
Crystal had a dance routine when she was a kid to Whoop, There It Is.
Nice. What?
Yeah.
Tina Enriquez says Tie Between Wasted Days and Wasted Nights by Freddie Fender and Mellow Yellow by Donovan.
Dang.
Wow. Mellow.
Catherine Contreras says Jesse's Girl.
Okay.
Travis K says Chumbawamba Tub Thumping.
Yes.
I'm sure that's a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then Bare Naked Ladies 1 week.
Bare Naked Ladies stunt. You didn't like that?
The Chinese chicken
had a drumstick and your brain stopped ticking.
See?
Watching X-Files and the lights on without a maze on. What's going on in this one? Harrison Ford getting frantic.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to satisfy it, I'm done. Of course, I made mad films.
I hear Bone Thugs do fucking the rap part of Bare Naked Ladies.
You hear that busy bone? I'm calling
you're listening.
They're going to cover the fucking Big Bang Theory opening theme song. Oh, it's also, Bare Naked Ladies. That's who sings it.
Hacks. it all turns around. Fucking hacks.
Cesar Portillo says, End of the Road by You Know Who.
Boys to Mizzen.
Alonzo Cantu.
Oops. Who's that?
It's a Smash Mouth All-Star.
Yeah, I'll do my original one, but then I was like, no, I'm going to go back in the arc. Because it was like, with L on your forehead. Yeah. Oh. I was singing that at work. I was like,
that's great. That's the best reference to the song. Like,
L on your forehead.
And the guy's voice, like, that first Smash Bros. Album was great.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
We'll fight. Lots of
walking on the sun? You can't say you don't like walking on the sun.
I don't.
Walking on the Sun's alright.
I'm done with this shit.
Walking
on the Sun.
I was into Limp Bizkit and Def.
Oh yeah, you gotta keep in mind. I was like I said, eight. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Diamond Mason says
Shrek soundtrack. Yeah.
Diamond Mason says anything CNC Music Factory.
That was my second one. Yes. Gonna make you sweat till you bleed.
I think my brothers bought that, so I didn't have to. James Bosquez says Kokomo and Red Wine by UB40.
Nice.
Red Wine's a good one. Red Wine's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, Curtis Allen did yours. This is a good one. The Eni Kamosi, Here Comes the Hot Stepper.
Murderer.
That. I'm the lyrical dancer.
Murderer.
That's funny. That's a good
funny
jam. I
could see a kid jamming out to.
Young Curtis right there. He's the only one that does a Young Curtis impression. That's why he's the best.
Mariel Magan, who's from Paris, put 2B3, which is Partir Un Jour. Never heard of it, but I'm sure it was hilarious. Yeah, there's a link, so we could listen to that, but it looks like the name of the band is 2B3. So, it's got to be like some horrible French boy band.
Three times one minus one.
Yeah.
She's from Paris.
In all fairness, when she was a kid, so I'm sure.
I'm surprised I didn't see any Schoolhouse Rock on here. Now that I think about it,
well, we're on close.
Judson Cooper says they might be Giants. Dr. Worm,
they might be
Giants. Rock. Yes. Shaggy from Poodle Slam says it was Wall of Voodoo's Mexican Radio, which I literally jammed to on a Mexican radio station, the Mighty 690 out of Tijuana, illegally crossing our border and bringing life to SoCal AM radio for a million.
Sweet,
nice. Monique Martin says Constantly by Immature. I was super into Romeo.
Oh, no, yeah, Mo. Sure. Okay,
all
right.
You're allowed. Yeah, this is all when we were younger. We all get passes for these.
Yeah.
And Andy Salinas Garza says, too legit to quit. Oh, I still know all the dance moves.
Fucking number 50s in that fucking video. Dave Robinson.
Yeah.
Too legit to quit.
Yeah, that's the only thing I like about that video.
Selling pizza for $9.99.
No, he's doing like this, he's doing this double pizza dance. I don't know.
Just celebrity cameo.
He's in it. He's just in there.
Everybody
was in that video.
You know who's too legit to quit? David Robinson.
Yes.
So he's
too legit to quit on his community.
So if you guys got kids out there, let them jam out. Let them use their own money to buy their own music. They can't buy maxi singles, but they can buy one track off of iTunes. Yeah. Man. If you're annoyed with the song, it ain't your life, man. Let them hear that song over and over again, because I guarantee, just like all of us, they're still going to remember it, man. Parenting. Fuck it. Just let them download it.
Felt a little feels right there. Larry, geez.
Where's
some alcohol? Let me kill these emotions, please.
So today in my edition of Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about not funny stuff, I'm talking about an article out of Psychology Today that comes from a paper written by doctors out of Evolution and Human Behavior. This year called Lumbar Curvature, a previously undiscovered standard of attractiveness. So for the longest time, a lot of the attractiveness standards that people do is they'll show a two-dimensional figure of a woman and how you look at them from the front. So they'll show what they always like to bring up is the breast to hips to waist ratio. And this is when you're looking at a woman from the front. So a lot of attractiveness standards.
From the front.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So a lot of these attractiveness standards has been based on looking at a woman from the front. How attractive do you find them? And so this study looks at lumbar curvature, which is, we are humans, upright standing primates are the only ones with the curved lumbars at the very base of our spine. Women have a more pronounced lumbar curvature because
you better talk about that again, my man.
Because when they get pregnant, it offsets their weight, especially when they're walking around upright, right? So I posted a link to the article, and this one actually shows sort of a side view as opposed to the frontal view as far as who, what men find attractive.
They look, they look like designer bottles of shampoo for, you know,
So what's funny, what I found really funny about this is like, you know, Karen, there's this girl with 26 degrees of, which is no butt, thigh back is what we like to call. And then there's the 61%, which is like hardcore like lumbar Cuban, curvature, like really big butt. Now, what they found was in a study that they did was the breaking point to where like the maximum attractiveness of the size
words I like
is a
breaking point.
Maximum everything
is like 43 to 47 degrees of lumbar curvature. Now, when it goes too far, it actually decreased. So the exact, I knew Larry would probably have something to say about this is the very, very super curved lumbar. So girls with a very pronounced butt, we're actually their curvature, you know, as you can see on this little graph, it actually went down. So
put your pants back
47 degrees of lumbar curvature was the hot spot, you might say, yes, Larry, of lumbar curvature, which I just thought was really funny. I just thought it was,
and what is it? 47 degrees?
47 degrees of lumbar curvatures. This is 43,
say
so it's
slow.
Lumbar curvature, baby.
Thank you.
43 degrees, and I tell that trick.
Yo, girl.
47 degrees is like the name of a new band.
And I break up off these NUTs because you get none of these.
So,
at ease.
You can read all about it. We posted the link as far as it's called The Loveliness of Luscious Loins is the name of the actual. That's the name of the article from Psychology Today.
Yeah. I think that's the name of my autobiography.
Loveliness of Luscious Loins. It brought my my topic question was, whose butt do you think is the most attractive?
What happened?
That cannot be your significant other's, which is severely appropriate.
Are you smacking
my only question is, do we really need to do a study on this to figure out that lumbar curvature? Like, you see all the pictures of models, they're always arching their backs. Yeah. Like, did we just now?
Well, here's what they can do now is that the photographer can look and see which one is at 47 degrees. And use use that photo knowing that one will be most universally accepted as the most attractive.
It seems like they were stretching a little bit. They were like,
I know, right? These guys got paid to do this. It's always great. Yeah, exactly. That's always another fun thing.
That was the hard part, was actually trying to make it sound scientific while they were looking at their ass.
But anyway,
what I like is that lumbar, for three, quote unquote, hey, that's not funnies in a row, it has been about black people.
Oh, Larry.
No, this is universal.
Look, so, but even, right. Larry. Even white boys got a shout.
But what I thought, the thing that I thought was really neat is that there hasn't been a study of women from looking at them from the side. Like, I thought that was interesting. I
study that all the time.
A lot of attractiveness standards is based on looking at a woman in a 2D picture.
Yeah, thank God.
So my question, whose butt do you think is the most attractive that is not your significant other? Now, this was a very hard question.
Mm-hmm.
I try to think, and there's a lot of butts out there that I like, and I tried to think of the butt that was most memorable to me in my life and in my brain.
Grab-a-de-gow.
That was like, here's the thing, and I'll say this to start off with, I'm not a butt guy. Mm-hmm. And Larry is my yang to my ying.
Yeah.
Because Larry likes him some butt.
Yep.
And I'm not that big of a butt head. But this was one of the first butts that I was like, man, I really like that butt. And the butt belongs to Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
Specifically from Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Very reference.
Yes. So I know it's weird. You're saying, like, what? Super Mario Brothers, the movie?
Wait, what? What?
Dennis Hopper?
Yes, Super Mario Brothers.
Are you sure she's in that?
Yes, Alyssa effing Lano. And here's the scene. I pulled it up. Maybe I'll.
That's so funny.
It's this specific scene where she's like, she has these short shorts and she's getting into a gutter. And
are you sure that's not Double Dragon, the movie?
No, this is Alyssa Milano.
She's in Double Dragon. I didn't know she was in Mario.
Yeah, and she wears these freaking short shorts throughout the whole movie.
Let me see.
God damn it.
Needs to inspect this, the lumbar. I'm the degrees of it.
That's Double Dragon.
Is it Double Dragon?
This motherfucker, I love this dude. Oh my god.
She's not in Mario Brothers.
Oh my god, there's an animated gif of it.
There's a gif.
Well, here's the great. Okay, so it still counts.
How many takes of that scene would you have done, Larry?
Because it's still.
Half of one?
It's still. It's still Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So there's an animated GIF of her from Double Dragon. It is, I'm so glad the internet is here. Because now I know what I'm going to be looking at.
That's a good butt.
That's.
I mean, to be fair, everybody's butt is going to look amazing from that angle. Like, come on. Everybody's butt's going to look amazing.
Yeah.
Paula Deen's butt is going to look incredible.
No.
Come on.
A lot of butts would look good.
They look better.
But like I said, this was
the butt. Great.
Gilbert Grape's mom's butt isn't going to look good.
This was the butt that made me look better. Like butts. That's why I think it holds a very sort of nostalgic sort of fondness.
That was the redeeming factor.
The whole movie, I was like, man, I really like her butt.
I could not,
I was obsessing about her butt. So Alyssa Milano, specifically from Double Dragon, the movie, otherwise known as Super Mario Brothers, the movie in my head for some reason.
Well, Andy got mad.
Are you serious?
Andy, she confronted me before I came to the podcast.
No, are you being serious?
Yeah, I am. Oh, and she was like, do me a favor. She didn't get mad. She goes, do me a favor.
Don't say I got mad.
Don't say I got mad on the podcast. And don't say a real girl's butt. Because my favorite line on King of Queens.
What do you mean like a real girl's butt? What does that
mean?
Like
a person I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite line from King of Queens was they were talking about hall passes and Leah Remini was like, mine's Brad Pitt. What about you, honey? If you had a chance to have sex with anybody, who would it be? And he says, the broad that does your nails. Good night. And it fucking makes me laugh and she gets mad and he's like, I don't have a chance with a celebrity. Right. Yeah. But this person is real.
Yeah.
This person is from San Antonio, Texas. This person was on the, Ice Fish video.
Huh?
Her name is Karen V. She's a San Antonio, I don't know if you want to call her a model.
No, she's an Instagram celebrity.
Instagram celebrity.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of all the, I'm a butt guy.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, Karen,
there's this
Karen
one.
Underscore VI. Go to Instagram right now. If you're a butt person, you'll thank me.
There's this one girl who nice works enough. Out at my gym, and I just call her butt lady because her butt's ridiculous. But it's actually so like she's in incredibly good shape, but she's at that like beyond 47 degrees where I find it unattractive. Like it's almost
what is
too,
your problem?
I know, Larry, but it's like crazy. Like it's almost too pronounced.
Yeah, but that's like saying, you know, we're having too much fun.
All right.
Now there's such a thing as
so an Instagram fitness model, like specifically videos, right?
Yeah, she was in the Ice JJ Fish video, and she's from San Antonio, and she's like, you know, like
follow me on Insta.
You're hilarious, Larry. And I was like, what?
You're like, sorry, girl.
I'm shaking. So yeah, she likes her butt, and she likes her big buff boyfriend. But her big butt boyfriend is the guy who films her butt on Instagram. So, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, you get high traffic.
Karen V, so I'll take it.
She's probably an instructor or like a, what do you call it, a trainer.
Nope.
Maybe her husband is.
Nope.
Got a whole bag of notes for you.
So, yeah, Karen V, man. I know you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm married, and my chick will probably fucking kill me, but...
He's, like, playing with his phone all, like,
so
nervously.
So, you specifically
like,
pick a girl that's in San Antonio.
Yeah,
that's
so it's middle ground. It's sort of...
She's a celebrity ground. From San Antonio.
Celebrity-ish.
But you wanted to get real.
It could get real.
So like Stella from Bill Miller's.
Yeah, I can't say that.
Yeah.
I
that's
can.
Just a fictional name. That's not a real person.
Yeah,
there's a Stella from Bill Miller's.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, with them brownies.
Yeah, girl. Yeah. I'll take 12 pieces of chicken for $10. my answer, we've like briefly mentioned a couple of topics ago, who had her lovely face blown off with a shotgun in the film Drive, is the very ever so lovely Christina Hendricks, who... is like a real life Jessica Rabbit. She's ridiculously awesome in a classic.
She's curvy.
Classic curvy way, which is I'm all about that. Very, very cool. And just even outside of like the whole Mad Men persona of her character Joan, which is like the best thing ever. like, you know, the show's good. Good show.
It's a good vehicle for Joan.
But she was the hook, and I was like,
yeah,
yes,
right.
She's the hook. But the rest of the show is very good. But outside of that character, every time I see pictures of her, it's like, oh, that's just class. We're world class. Thumbs up. Way up in every department. But yes,
she's on another period.
Thumbs up, huh?
She's on another period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Comedy Central.
Yes.
With Natasha Leggero.
Yes. Yes. Ding dong, thumbs up, way up. That's my review of the movie Drive. Well, one thumb up. And you know what? Like, that's the thing about that scene in Drive that I was like, oh man, like I think that's why I bought into it. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, shit got real.
I'll give you that.
How could you do that? Yeah, exactly. Like, oh man. But yeah, Christina Hendricks.
All right.
Wonderful. So Alonzo, your significant other is here.
Yeah, she don't care.
So
Yeah.
No, but saying you can't say it's her butt.
Oh no, yeah. Fucking no, she knows. No, there's lots of better butts out there. But no. Yeah. I'm like my friend Regan over here said, I'm not really a butt dude, really. Like, somebody has to point out that there's a good butt, and then I'm like, oh.
Keep Larry around. Yeah. He will let you know.
Oh, of course.
Larry will let you know all the time.
But yeah, it's like a... Like,
I'm like, check it out. See over there across the highway? Look at that. Damn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's... I need people around me to introduce me to the asses, I guess, most of the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm an ass man. I'm an ass man. I like butts, so.
Yeah, oh, they're really pointing out butts. They're great.
Pay attention, because it doesn't pay attention to me.
Aww.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. All right. I like Yolandi Vasir from Die Antwoord.
You guys ever? Oh, nice.
I don't know. I
tiki,
like
tiki,
it.
Boom, boom.
It's like, you've seen that video, This Is Why I'm Hot? There's a scene where she's just, she's just
shaking her butt?
Well, not even shaking it. She's like moving gyrating. It around. Yeah, it says, like, I love New York on it and shit. And then there's another scene, Baby's on Fire, where she's like in her panties and shit like that. Oh, yeah, so good. Yeah. And the shirt says, who needs tits? We got ass like this.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Way to go, South Africa.
Here's a picture of her ass.
Right.
I brought it for the class. Right. Brought enough for the whole class.
Let me see. Is there enough to go around for everybody?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, yikes on bikes.
No, it's too small.
It's too small?
Yeah. And
shout out to Nicki Minaj.
I don't know. I don't think she lose points because it's fake, right?
It's fake, yeah.
It's like a comic not writing his own jokes. You got to take them down a couple notches.
Hers is definitely beyond 47 degrees.
Yeah.
I like that. Though.
She looks like a lowercase B.
No.
She's not flat. She's not
No,
flat.
She isn't flat at all.
Yeah.
It'd be like a P mixed or a Q mixed with
a
B.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
P's and Q's.
But,
Yeah.
Bottom reverse. I don't know.
It looks like she has huge boobs and a huge butt.
Yeah, you're right.
Basically, is what we're
at. Yeah, like a chicken. Yeah. But yeah, Die Antwoord, dude.
All right.
Good answer.
Facebook answers.
Yeah.
Susie Hamilton says Gavin Rosdell, obviously.
He has a nice butt?
I don't know. That's the good thing. I'm glad that girls are saying their answers.
Gross butt.
Any man has a nice butt.
Oh, Fassbender's got a nice ass.
Have you not watched a baseball game ever in your life?
I've never looked at a man's butt and been like, oh, yeah, that butt.
You've never watched a baseball game?
Yeah, because
never.
There's no sexual attraction to a man's butt.
Yeah, no, never.
No,
girl's butt, I'll be like, eh, what's up? I'm going to look at your butt.
Studies say that the sexual attraction to a man's butt is based on gluteal muscles about thrusting power. Yeah, it's about thrusting.
Well, I mean, also, I don't really look at men. I'm never like, oh yeah, you're hot.
Go to a baseball game.
Yeah, no, I don't. Well,
that's true.
I really don't. They're not aesthetically pleasing. I mean, yeah, that's my boyfriend, of course. I think that's great. You know, but
that's what the thing in porn that's disappeared is the reverse shot of the ass. The dude's ass, they've kind of reduced those shots.
It's because the guys that are in it are the ones directing it, and every guy's self-conscious about his asshole.
The butthole ball shot.
Yeah.
The worst shot in pornography by a long stretch is that shot where you just see the fucking balls and the asshole.
Yeah, that's for diverse crowds. Yeah. That's for everybody
enjoys the
ride.
By far, my favorite
Mexican exclamation.
My favorite porn blooper that I don't even know was a real porn blooper, but this was just a porno I saw was when it was two guys DPing this girl and. The guy on the bottom pulls his cock out and tries slapping the girl's vagina, but slaps the dude's balls instead. And you hear the guy go, oh, it is hilarious. Yeah. Amazing, amazing, hilarious.
Can you imagine getting your nuts hit by some dude's gun?
You know, rock hard dick?
You know what that clip is?
But you're a professional.
No, I have
though.
No clue.
Boss was all excited. No. He's like, I want to see that.
My friend runs a porn blooper site. I don't know if you've ever heard of efuck.com.
Your friend, runs that?
He not only runs.
Dude, give him a high five. For me. That's my jam.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no. I was friends with the guy that started the site, sold it for $1 million, and now.
You know Bill Gates? Like, that's like.
No, but yeah, I'm like probably my best friend. He's the guy that makes all the videos.
Holy
stuff.
Shit!
Yeah,
yeah, no.
Him my butt.
Oh yeah,
the guy that runs E-Fucks. I showed him my butt one time.
Yeah, we're on Skype.
Thumbs
oh
up.
Yeah, he was yeah.
He's very high.
Yeah,
what's his name?
He hasn't gotten laid in forever.
So
and he runs that website.
Yeah,
yeah, well, he's got some now. His name's Duran.
That's of course it is.
You know what? On an interesting note, he actually has a movie called I Love Cops. If you want to see people, he gets arrested 8 times during that movie. It's just an insane.
What's his name?
What? Who? Ronnie Dubs?
Yeah, he's Ronnie Dubs.
Run, Ronnie, run!
He's Ronnie Dubs.
Would he do the podcast?
He's really sensitive about his voice. He's lives in Florida, so you'd have to like
Skype or something.
Yeah, you'd have to Skype him and all that. He's not really about that kind of stuff. I'll throw it out there.
The mic.
Like the fact that you all are huge fans, I'll throw it out there. He probably love that.
Yeah, Regan especially.
Oh yeah,
I'm not.
Okay,
but that I mean,
you know what? Like back in the old days, and couples would look over like a Ziggy or like Dagwood. They'd be like, "Hey, get a load of this chuckle right here." That's me and Lisa. Like, we don't do it as often because it's just kind of run out of time. But it was like a weekly, like, oh, let's see what's going on. E-fuck, brr, look at that.
And I've had nightmares because of it.
Poor Larry's had nightmares. Oh, man. It's hilarious. That's some very good videos.
I love.
What'd you say?
It's what you get.
It is. No, yeah. It totally is.
I love, too, is that he, kind of like how, you know, comics, when we're talking about our dick jokes, like, I'm working on this dick joke and shit. No, we don't say it like that, but he really looks at those videos like art. You know what I mean? He like puts a lot of time
into it. Some of them are like a serious, like A+. They're so funny. Like they're very funny. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some really dark ones, like ones that he's like, man, like, it's a little too political.
Yeah, that's.
And I love it.
I feel it. Great. That's awesome. It. Wow.
Yeah. So if you could find that clip or if you know anything about it,
it's probably on that site. It's probably on E-Fuck.
Yeah. I'll shoot it his way. Maybe you can look it up.
Years and years ago.
Yeah.
But it is hilarious. Andrew Thomas says, Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Lining Playbook. Those white pants were popping.
Right, man. Yeah.
Cesar Portillo says a tie between mine and Larry's.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. Hey, all right.
Yeah, Cesar. Yeah.
Claudia Salazar says miles. Lenny Kravitz.
Ooh,
an addictive match.
Ratio.
Travis K says, I don't really discriminate too much. If it's firm, plump, slightly bouncy, and on a lady, I'm all about it. I believe Larry would call it mom butt.
Yeah, mom butt.
I have my reasons for. I have my reasons for my recent appreciation of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Judson Cooper says pork butts.
Shut up, Judson Cooper.
He's right though.
He can say pork butts.
He's right. There's nothing wrong with a pork butt.
There's nothing wrong
with
pork butt.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Yeah, with their fucking curly tails, fucking waving their ass around like they own the farm.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, you're right.
He just went full circle to fuck
pigs. No, Larry, no.
The name of the episode.
Fuck pigs. No, not at all, Larry.
They have a pointy penis.
They do.
I'm not talking about their... I'm talking about the chick ones.
Andy Salinas Gar says, I don't care. Larry's butt is and forever will be my favorite, even when we're divorced. I'm freaking deleting that one. Remove.
No, don't remove.
No, I removed it. I specifically said, not your significant other, Andy's. Good Lord.
Yeah, what's that guy's name?
She said,
who?
Brother, dude, or girl? Thank your mother for
Andy
a butt
Salinas
like
Garza?
That.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Larry's wife.
I was about to be like, boo.
She loves
you can't say boo.
But here's the thing. I know for a fact that's not true. She likes the way my butt looks. She ain't going near the hole, though.
I'm like, come on, dude. This wasn't whose buttholes.
I'm like, just try it out. If you like it so much, just play around with it. See how it works. Yeah. Give it a test drive.
Ross Carter says, Steve's.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. He's got a pretty good
one. Hey, Larry? Is she ever like kind of touching, like, hey, you know, are you hoping she go a little bit further down? Or?
Just to see what she's the only person I trust to. I mean, yeah, her and like, I don't know.
You don't trust me, Larry?
I guess. If you know what you're doing.
Yeah, massage therapist, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
Sarah Sharp says, Joe Manganiello, he's got it all. And for the record, Andy, I liked your post because of salt and pepper reference. I mean, I'm sure Larry's butt is great, but married dudes might as well be Ken dolls from the neck down for me.
Oh, all right. Oh, I got cocks and stuff.
And also, Trip Marsalis says, if I could just cut one off and put it in a box to take home, leaving the carcass on the side of the road. He said that it would be, I think...
Trip's probably done that before, though.
Cut one off and throw... he said that it would be Kim Kardashian or Sofia Vergara.
Hack.
No.
And a certain, black tennis star comes to mind as well.
Oh, Serena Williams?
Yeah, one of the Williams.
See, here's the thing. As a butt guy... You have to have appreciation for Kim Kardashian and Sofia Vergara. It's like being a fan of comedy and then rolling your eyes when someone says George Carlin's their favorite comedian. It's like,
let me roll my eyes real quick.
It's like Jennifer Lopez. Come on, man.
And Misty Mosley Helber says, my heart doesn't really agree, but my ovaries say Luke Bryan. And she put in a picture, and I mean, I guess that's a nice guy, but that doesn't
look
like...
But we're not attracted to men.
There you got a lady here. What do you say?
It's a dude's butt.
It's a flat dude.
I think she just likes the dude that much.
Dude, that's a specimen.
I'll say this, though.
That guy's a specimen.
I've been to some drag shows to where I've seen guys' butts that are like, holy God, those are good butts. Any side.
But can a guy have a girl butt?
Yeah, they're a woman's butt.
But
yeah.
Can a guy have a girl butt? And look, you know what I'm saying?
No, I will different. Say this. I was at the San Japan anime convention. There's a dude who was in cosplay. I didn't know it was a guy because when I saw the butt, he was wearing a helmet. And I was like, dude, that chick's got an amazing butt. Yeah. And it was a dude in spandex. But like I will say that.
When he pulled out, he came on his nuts.
Ooh. It's exactly what we described earlier, except there's ejaculation.
Okay, so yeah, he had a nice.
It's like, no, I just was attracted to a man's butt. You don't have to turn it into a thing. Yeah, please.
So, yes, the loveliness of luscious loins, 47 degrees of lumbar curvature is the optimal range.
I'm a lumbar jack, baby.
I'm a lumbar jack, baby! Vroom, vroom! Yes!
I'm a lumbar jack, baby!
Jess wins. Lumbar jack, indeed. Yeah. Oh, that is amazing.
Where's Jackal? Where are they doing?
So lumbar curvature. That's not funny.
No, I love the 47. I love how there's a degree that we all know now.
Yeah. 47.5.
Too much.
$50,000 in taxpayers' money.
Oh, God. Yeah. They got a grant.
Thank you.
And like big butts, but not really big butts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not too big.
Not too big. Just big enough for just one more thing you ladies have to worry about.
Yes.
Your 47 degrees. Big, but not too. It has to be exactly 47 degrees. So
but this
go
is for
home,
the
measure that shit out.
It's for white
and
guys.
If it's not 47 degrees. Kill yourself.
This is general public.
I got my protractor over here. Let me see if we can go out tonight, sweetie.
Well, we had a lot of fun. Alonzo can too. We appreciate you coming. Where can people find you on Facebooks and Twitter and social media?
I'm Alonzo Cantu on Facebook. You can look up Alonzo Cantu Comedy on YouTube, San Antonio. Use these keywords. It's like about five keywords it'll take for you to find me. Cult of Alonzo is probably the best choice, though.
Okay.
Just Cult of Alonzo. Type that into YouTube and check out some of the videos. I have a playlist, and then I have other videos. Just watch the playlist. The other shit sucks. Thank you very much. So much for guys having me on your podcast.
Oh,
this is awesome, dude. Thank you so much, man.
And Charlie, thanks for hanging out, too.
Yeah.
But at the end, this is your first time on this podcast, so I do need to let you know, and I'm sure you figured it out by now, but this is an educational program.
Oh, yeah.
So we asked our guests and we asked ourselves, what did we come to know? After all the topics and things that we discussed, what made you come to learn something about yourself or about the world? So pause on that, think about it, and we're going to do roundtable. Jess, what did you come to know?
So many names fly across, and then you just hear them, and you're like, I don't remember that name. I'll never remember that name. So apparently there's this Instagram model who's all about fitness, who has a wonderful, wonderful bottom. I'll never remember her name. And it came. So the point of it is, it's reinforcing that thing that I'm just horrible with first names and last name. I'm horrible with names.
Karen V.
Great.
Ruben V.
Ruben V. Karen V. Like the letter V.
V-I.
Little Joe E. Camelia.
It takes two or three times for me to, boom, sneak in. So I apologize to people in advance if I meet you, don't remember your first name or your name, and then I bump into you two or three times, then I'll know for sure.
Larry,
so Karen V, nice work. Nice job. Thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll follow you. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind to see her ground beefing. What I came to know is that the degrees of separation between Jess and I and E-Fucked just got cut
in a ton
by like 7.
Yeah.
And I am so happy that, and a little freaked out that something that the internet created that was such a dark place, but still gave us hours and hours of entertainment and awkward boners that my friend Alonzo is best friends with the creator and curator of E-Fuck.
Curator.
Right? It was going to be a segment on Public Access early on. We were going to have our E-Fucked video of the week. Yeah.
If you guys ever want to do something like that, I can talk to the dude and get some insider info on like whatever videos you guys like. I can go talk to him and get him to give some background information. I can do a little commentary thing, you know?
Hilarious. Yeah. That
I can tell you where you got it from and all that.
Would be amazeballs. So that's what I came to know.
Just put it on our blog.
Yeah.
Which we don't have.
We don't have a blog.
I have come to know something I never thought I would ever know in my entire life, is I've come to know what Alonzo's butt looks like.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It was nice. I knew that before for some reason.
He was gracious enough to show us his butt a little while ago.
How was it lumbar?
I don't know. I would say around the 20s and 30s. And that was just a quick glance. Yeah. You know, I'm not pulling out the protractor or anything. But yeah, now I know what your butt looks like. I appreciate your commitment to the segment. you know, you went full out to show us your butt. So now that image will always be able to be referenced in my brain. So I appreciate that,
Alonzo.
Thank you very much.
First time on Public Access. Hopefully not the last. What did you come to know?
I learned that there was an exact degree to the perfect ass, you know. I like the fact that they're like lumbar, not ass. Lumbar.
Yeah, this is science we're talking about.
Lumbar here. Yes. All right. I like the fact I didn't know this guy is fucking amazing. I love this dude over here knowing Jess? Somebody was like, oh, this song, and he's like, soundtrack Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some stuff. There's always someone better, though.
He shot his FBI friend in the elevator with how quick he did that. You know what I mean? He was just like,
that was the reaction part. Great reference.
Yeah. I tried to do a little callback. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, man. But I, you know, I see why I had to beg to get on this show, because you guys actually fucking take things seriously around here. And
yes.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate it, man. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Not too serious, but we do take it seriously.
Put it in perspective.
47%. And Charlie, thank you for joining us and being so sweet. And
did you come to know anything?
I did not come to learn anything the show. But I did come to learn reading about these migraines that I've been having since the beginning of the summer.
Did you find anything
while I was Googling it while you guys were talking about random horseshit. And I learned that it's probably connected to anxiety or something. I don't know. Maybe I should meditate.
Well, I'm glad that we gave you the opportunity to Google, to just sit there and Google.
I learned a lot of things from Google.
Because if you weren't sitting here for the past couple hours, you wouldn't have had that time to just really focus on the problem.
No, I would be at the bar with Alonzo probably Googling the exact same shit. Because Alonzo would be reading the current and not paying attention to me.
Right. But the background noise would be different. You know, it might have swayed your Google search.
This is a good healing environment.
It's like sliding doors.
Yeah,
type of thing.
We give girlfriends migraines. So thank you, thank you, Alonzo. Thank you, Charlie. Jess, what do we have coming up?
Oh, hey guys, you could always get older adventures of our show and our friends at comediaagogo.com, and you can listen to all the new stuff right here at oneofus.net with a bunch of other shows. We're glad to be a part of it. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for answering our questions on our Public Access Happy Campers Facebook page and giving us shout outs on Twitter at comediagogo, hashtag Public Access. Thank you. And also, we have this cool movie called Blood Cousins, and we have this cool comedy special called Larry and Regan's Big Red and Barbacoa, all on our website, comediagogo.com. Thanks. Thumbs up. Love butts.
That's right, guys. And coming soon, visit LarryGarzaComedy.com. I will have a brand new t-shirt coming out. So if you would like to order it, I'm going to start doing mailings, and there will be two available coming soon. So follow me on Instagram at LGarza81 or on Facebook's Larry Garza. It's me. Also, Blind Tiger Comedy Club every Friday night at midnight inside the Mineshaft Saloon, inside the Magic Time Machine. Free show every midnight. The Russian Doll of Comedy Club. Guys, stay tuned at the Blind Tiger. October 30th will be the premiere show of Comedia Gogo Presents the Candy Butcher's Comedy Sideshow.
Yes.
Show a mixture of videos, comedy, vaudeville, sideshow freaks, burlesque, and some music. So, been planning it out for a really long time, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, once again, thank you, Alonzo. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you,
guys.
So much.
It's always a pleasure.
We've done 126 of these episodes, and earlier this week, while doing a show with Larry, we talked to a previous podcast guest, Joshua Pullen, who said that after our episode with him, where we talked about his family's meat business called Pullen Meats. Apparently, they got phone calls and people were contacting them that had listened to our podcast, which made me think, wow, people actually listen to our podcast. And so, me being the scientific person that I am, I thought it'd be fun to, if you have listened to this far, thank you. Like I said before in a few episodes before, I love you. Yes, you, the person who is listening right now, I'm talking to you. I love you. Thank you for listening to all of this craziness that we've done. But I want to do something scientific. If you have listened this far, I want you to close the app, close the window, and just open up Facebook, type in a status, and just hashtag public access and hashtag lumbarjack will be this one for this episode. Hashtag lumbarjack. That's LUMBARJACK. Lumbarjack. I just want to see if you've listened this far. It'll take you 1 minute. Close the app, open up Facebook, and just hashtag lumbarjack, hashtag public access. After you've listened to this episode, because I just want to do some research. So just for me, hashtag lumbarjack, hashtag pugglack.
And if you don't have social media, guys, send us an email at comediaagogo@yahoo.com and write us a review on iTunes or oneofus.net or Stitcher or wherever you guys hear us from. So once again, thank you, Alonzo. Thank you, Charlie. Regan and Jess, it was fun.
Mm-hmm,
Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll lumbarjack you later.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Nice ass. Here comes the floor! Here comes the floor!